The Kinneys are one of our newer missionary families. We've been supporting them now for, what, about 4 years, something like that, something along those lines. They've completed their first term on the field. If you were in Sunday school, you'll realize that they have been used tremendously of the Lord. And I am so thrilled that we as a church can have a part in supporting somebody, a family that's this dedicated to the Lord. And I'll tell you something, we went out last night and we had supper together. And during the meal, he has three children. One is not able to be with us today because he's got to go to work tomorrow, right? One of your others got a job, right? So they'll have to get back and they'll be going to work. Now, how long have you been back in the States?
Since September.
Since September. Yes, sir. All right. Now, and two of your children already got jobs.
They had jobs about the first month. They had jobs already.
Well, don't you know that there aren't any jobs available? Don't your family, has nobody told your family about this?
That's for people that are not looking.
That's right. But I tell you what, that was just something last night that said something to me about the family. It said, you know something? They come back to the States after having been gone for 3.5-4 years, come back to the States, and almost immediately two of his children get jobs like that and are working. It's a working family. It's a working family. Jobs are out there if you want them. Amen? They're out there. Now, it might not be the job you want, but the jobs are out there if you want them. And that impressed me right there. Just that, right there. That tells me something about the caliber of this family. Oh my. Give him your hearts and minds as he preaches this morning, brother.
Well, we sure appreciate being here this morning. We appreciate your prayers again and of course your support. And we do thank you for those that were here this morning. We thank you. If you couldn't be here, we're glad you're here now. And we appreciate the accommodations the pastor set up for us. They were lovely. And the food, and we could sit with this family, and this could be our home church if we're looking for one. I'm sure, that's what I think. You think so too? Amen. All right, this morning I want you to turn to 1 Kings. This morning, 1 Kings. You can stand if you want to. If you want to reverence God's word, I don't know if you do that here, I'm standing, but I don't mean you have to stand. Verse 29. The Bible says, "And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to return over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. In the days did the Bethelite build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof, and Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof, and his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua the son of Nun." You may be seated. I'm not going to read the whole thing with you. But to make a long story short, this man, of course, we know was a very wicked man. His wife Jezebel was a very wicked woman. And they, verse 32, it says, "And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal." We all know this was a false god. We have false gods in Ghana. We have the god of stone. I mean, they have the river god around the Volta region. You can go to the Volta and they believe that the river gives life and it takes life away. That's animism. They worship their ancestors over there. There's a lot of crazy things. Here, they were worshiping Baal, this false god. Baal means sky god or the god of weather. Many people worship different things today. When I was visiting my church a long time ago, and we went out to this, it was this beautiful ranch, and we knocked on the door, and here comes this lady. She must have had 10 horses or whatever it was, and we knocked on that door, and that lady came out, and she said, I said, well, we're from the Orangeburg Baptist Tabernacle. That's my home church. I said, we're here, we want to invite you to church. I mean, that's pretty easy. And before I said any more, I didn't even get any kind of witnessing or anything yet. She said, she looks around, she holds her hands out, she said, you see this? She said, this is my church. And she had it all what she wanted right there. She didn't need God. And sometimes we, even in Ghana, they think they don't need God. But here they worship Baal. And verse 33 says, and Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel. Let's look at chapter 17. Bible says in verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, according to my word. And the book of James, if you were to look in chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, the Bible tells us Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. That means he was like us. Amen. I mean, we're not Elijah or Elias, okay? But he was a man. He was like us, amen? It said he was subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Here's our timeline. We have when Elijah's getting ready to he cut off the water source, amen, 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Look at verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence. Or in other words, we're from the country. We say, hey, go there. Amen. Get thee hence. Go there. And turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread, amen, a biscuit, and tenderloin. No, it don't say that. It says flesh in the morning, and then it says, and a hush puppy and flounder in the evening. Does it say that in your Bible? It doesn't say it in mine either. It says bread and flesh in the evening. Some of y'all are getting hungry. And he drank of the brook, God's provision here. Look at verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. This morning, I want to preach to you just for a little while. I don't know if I'll even take the whole time or not, but I will preach to you what the Lord's given me. I want to preach to you on this subject. Are you there? Are you there? There. Amen. You say, where is there? I would answer you by saying, for Elijah, there was a brook, amen, that later was a widow's house. For Noah, there was an ark. For Daniel, there was a prayer room that led to a lion's den. For the three Hebrew boys, there was a fiery furnace. That don't sound too good, does it? Well, God's with you, it's okay. For Ruth, there was a field owned by Boaz. For David, there was the throne of Israel. For Paul, there was a prison cell. For Jesus, there was a cross. Amen? There is that place in your life that finds you where God has placed you. Amen? There is a perfect will for your life. When you get there, you'll know it. But when you aren't there, you also know it. Number one, I want to look at this. There is a place of promise. Let's look at verse 4 here. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook that I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. God said, I've got some carriers, amen. They're not carrier pigeons, they're carrier ravens. I will feed you there. David said in Psalms chapter 37, verse 25, I have been young and now I am old. Have I not seen, it says, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God will take care of us, won't he? Coronavirus, that don't mean anything to God. I mean, it, you know what I'm saying? We've got to depend on him, amen. When will we die? When he's done with us, amen. But we've got to depend on God. Whatever we do, Elijah had to depend on God. God was all he had. Or he would starve, right? God never let him down. God will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never let you down. Amen. Look in verse 8 and 9. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath. This was Jezebel's old stomping grounds. This is where she came from. So you go, he run away from them, amen, went to her hometown. That's funny, isn't it? It says, which belongeth to Zidon to dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Hey, if you follow God, wherever there is, he's going to provide. Amen. God's promises can be trusted. Amen. What God says always comes true. Hey, I'm telling you, I stand on this word of God because it's never let me down. Amen. Never will. Look at verse 10. So he arose and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there, gathering sticks. And he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. Amen. And so he went and got him some water. She went and got him some water. And then it says in verse 11, and as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go and dress it for me and my son. She's going to start a fire. It says that we may eat it and die. Notice here in verse 13, Elijah's faith. He knew God had led him there to that lady. He didn't know exactly why, but he depended on God. He knew God wanted him there and that he was going to provide, even if that widow woman says, hey, I don't have much. He knew God was going to provide. Amen. His faith was strong. Amen. Our faith sometimes is weak. What we need to do is trust God more and more each day, don't we? Look at verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Do you ever fear? She was afraid for them because she thought for sure that they were going to die. Do you ever fear? This virus has got us fearful. People that I knew, and I'm not putting anybody down, people I knew that never feared anything, virus coming, they afraid, amen. Fear not, is what Elijah said to her. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. 3.5 years in between that. And look at here. So number one, there's a place of promise. Number two, listen to this. There's a place of provision. Look back at verse 6 again. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And so we see here the guiding hand of God is also the providing hand of God. Amen. God will use some unusual ways to care for you. Think about the unusual ways here. The raven, a bird, an unclean bird. God used an unclean bird to deliver food. He used a widow. Widowers aren't known to have a lot. When God called me to Africa, he said, I want you to go to school first. So I went to Tabernacle. I obeyed Him. I said, Lord, okay, let's go. And loaded up my family. I had a friend that loaned me it was about a 24-foot, 20 or 24-foot trailer. Loaded all my earthly possessions on that trailer. We're a family of five, so we had a lot there. And we had our beds and all those things, and we had a tarp that covered everything up. About halfway there, the rain came, and my tarp fell apart. It ripped in half and was blowing around. Everything was wet when we got there. So then we got there, and the Lord had already given me help me, dear, my brain's gone this morning. Scholarship, thank you. Already gave me a scholarship there. Amen. And so the Lord was already providing in that way. I get there and I'm a machinist, so I think, well, I call ahead and I got a job. And He said, okay, this is what you're going to be making. And I get there and I start working. My first check, it's 50 cents less. And I think, And then after a while, I get laid off, preacher. So it was the hardest man I ever worked for, by the way. He was a Christian, he said. But I got laid off, and I went about 2 weeks without pay. And so you think, well, I might be losing some of my faith by now. I'm looking for a job. I don't have a whole lot. And then a man hires me on to do used tires. And he says, I don't really have a position, but I'll make one. So God used that, and I started there. Here comes a man. He came up to him, and he says, you're going to think this is weird unless you're a Christian. He said, the Holy Spirit told me to do this. He gave me a $100 bill. Amen. I bought groceries for my family. And I had another time through Bible college. God provided everything all along the way in Bible college. I had a pair of shoes that did not wear out the whole Bible college. As soon as I got done, those shoes wore out. They fell apart. But I had my kids and my wife, that two boys were hard on shoes. And we had some nice shoes, and then they started flapping at the bottom. So we didn't have any money, so we wrapped some black duct tape around them. And that worked for a little while, but we've been getting to look for shoes, and we went to the Goodwill, and we were looking for shoes. And this man was following us around the Goodwill. It was the strangest thing. I didn't know whether to get my knuckles ready or what. But my wife, she always notices stuff like that, and she's aware of her surroundings. And so this man followed us around and kept looking at us funny. And I think we found a pair or something that wasn't real great, but we bought them. We came out in our car, and here's this man. He was walking near us, went to his car, opened the door up, then he closed the door. And he just kind of looked around a little bit. I said, this is strange. And then here comes the guy who's coming up to me, preacher. And he says, I've tried to leave here two times, but God won't let me. God wants me to buy all of y'all shoes. Woo! I said, praise the Lord. He said, this is what he said. He said, you're not going to believe this unless you're a preacher. I said, I'm in Bible college. And I said, that's what I'm going to be, a preacher or missionary. And he said, I want to buy your whole family shoes. And I said, Lord, I said, I don't deserve to even be here. But Lord, I don't know why you'd want me to be here as a preacher. I don't know why you'd want to do that. But when God does something in your life, He will provide. He'll help you. Amen. So wherever you're there is, He's going to help you there. Amen. And so this widow was getting some help too, amen, because there was a man of God that had faith that listened to God. He had the faith, amen. He's there. He went there. He stayed there, amen. Amen. You might be here and you're wondering where your there is. Talk to God about it. Amen. His there was a place that was a little strange. Had a raven and a widow to provide. And so, what a blessing it is God will provide all along the way. Look at verse 15 and 16. And she, talking about the widow, went and did according to the sayings of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which spake by Elijah. So there is a place of promise. Number two, there is a place of provision. And number three, there is a place of prayer. Look at verse 17 through 24. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? She's starting to doubt him. Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom. And carried him up into a loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times, and he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child, and he brought him out of the chamber unto the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. So God did this miracle through Elijah. Not only did Elijah have faith, now this lady has faith in God. Amen. And the woman said unto Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. By the way, the word of the Lord is true. Amen. Salvation is true. Amen. The word of God, the Trinity, amen, the blood, the book, the blessed hope, all of it is true. Amen. And sometimes it takes us a little while to understand it's all true. When we go through some battles and we go through some trouble in our life, then we find it to be true, don't we? Unless we go through some stuff, we don't find it to be true unless we can read about it. But then something happens in our life and we say, well, I tell you, the Word of God is true. Go over to Ghana and you see the rooftops and all the Bible just seems to come alive. Because, you know, people go on the roofs at night and other things. It's really interesting to me. But the Word of God is true, amen. This lady found out that the Word of God was true. How about you this morning? Is the Word of God true to you? What about you? Have you been truly saved? You know, you're there is wherever God will have you go. Okay? We're here, amen. This is your there. If God's brought you to this church, this is your there, amen. Elijah was brought to his there, amen. That was a brook. Ended up helping a lady and her son, amen. Elijah had faith in the will of God. Elijah had faith in the Word of God. Elijah had faith in the work of God. Amen. So this morning, where is your there? You say, I don't know. God's working in my heart about something. God worked in my heart many years ago about being a missionary and a preacher. I don't know if that's the case for you this morning. I don't know if there's a there for you to go to. Maybe your there is going outside these doors and forgetting about the coronavirus and just going and telling somebody about Jesus. Put your mask on or whatever it takes. Get out here and get busy for God. You say, Brother Kenny, maybe I hadn't been too busy because of all this. I hadn't been as busy either. Why? Because I think a lot of this has hindered us from getting and doing our there. Amen? What is your there? What are you supposed to be doing? What is your care? What has the Lord laid on your heart for you to be doing? Maybe there's something in this church that one of you are supposed to be doing. But maybe you don't want to do it. You're scared or your faith is not what needs to be. I don't know what the case is. But God had this message for you this morning. Where is your there? Are you saved? You're not going to find your there until you first find salvation. That's going to be your there. Amen. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us are sinners. That's what in Africa, I'll go up to a man or a woman, a boy or girl, and I'd say, are you going to heaven? And they say, oh, yes, I will be there. Oh, pastor, I will be there. They see you as a pastor. They don't know you, but they call you pastor. Oh, pastor, I will be there. I said, how do you know? I do some good things. I keep the Ten Commandments. I go to church. I said, that's not what gets you there. Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us are sinners. Now I'd ask them, why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come to this earth? They knew He come. A lot of them heard it. They celebrate Easter. Why did Jesus come? And many of them will get this right. They said, He came to take away our sins. I said, well, why do we try to work our way to heaven when there's only one that can take away our sins? And then they'll look away or look down. Jesus is the answer. If you're not here this morning and you need Jesus Christ, you say, my whole life is a wreck. My whole life is gone astray. I've done this and I've done this and I've done that and I can't seem to make it right. Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? He's what changed me. If He'll change me, He'll change anybody. Amen. I played church for years. When I got saved, I'm tired of playing church. I want to do something for God. Amen. And it wasn't me. It was God inside of me working outside. Amen. What you see up here is what God has done, not what I've done. What I've done is a wreck. If you're here this morning and you need Jesus Christ, the Bible says He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. How about you this morning? With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask the pastor to come and close us out however he sees fit. But this morning, I want you to ask yourself, where is my there? And am I truly born again? Am I truly saved by the grace of God?